Hello, friends. Edith here with a bonus episode of Soundtracking. And there is a very good reason why that is happening, because it features none other than the wonderful Ryan Coogler. We had the pleasure of speaking to Ryan way back when the first Black Panther film was just about to be released. So he was unaware of the journey that that film and its cast would have from that moment on, which, of course, has been, to start off with, the most beautiful and wonderful celebratory reaction to that film, and then, of course, hit with the devastating news of the passing of Chadwick Boseman. So the release of this new film, Wakanda Forever, is obviously hugely bittersweet for all involved. But boy, has Ryan and the exceptional cast done his memory proud. This is a very, very different film to the first Black Panther. There are familiar characters in there, of course, but the storyline has this extraordinary weight to it that is weighted on, I think, a real tribute to Chadwick. You can feel him in this film. You can feel the loss of him in this film. You can feel the kind of journey that the characters are going on, and that kind of really mirrors, I guess, the life of these people who were so close to Chadwick. So I love the fact that that is within the film. The line between art and reality in this film is very thin. And I mean around the emotion and the connection between Chadwick, T'Challa. And so I think it's beautiful. I really, really do. And it's an absolute pleasure that we are able to celebrate him and the film and Ryan's work and Ludwig's work and everybody involved in this film's work on this episode of the podcast. And what better way to experience it, to be honest, than heading to your local View, where you can watch it in all its glory now. As you'd imagine from the latest installment from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the visuals are incredible and must be seen on the big screen, while the score by our very good friend Ludwig Göransson deserves nothing better than View's Dolby surround sound for the ultimate immersive experience. Tickets are available online from £4.99 at selected View venues for your chance to see Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Another must-see big screen experience coming next month is Avatar Way of the Water, featuring a 3D world that is even more impressive than the first film. But for now, let's head to Wakanda. Book your tickets now at myview.com. And so to Ryan, who, as I mentioned, once again enlisted Ludwig's services as composer. And this is his cue from the film T'Challa. Listen, congratulations on this film. It's beautiful. It really is. It's all the emotions. It's just a beautiful and fantastic tribute, but with taking the story forward as well. You've done a fantastic job.
You worked hard on it, so I appreciate it.
We had the pleasure of chatting about the first film, and since then as well, I've been lucky enough to have, I think, two or three sittings with Ludwig about all his various kind of projects and stuff. So if you don't mind, we can talk about that. But
happy to.
I hope you don't mind just by starting by kind of talking about, because I listened to the beautiful Wakanda podcast this morning.
You listened to it? Is it out now?
It's out.
Okay.
And it is brilliant.
Oh, why not?
It's so great.
Why
it's
not?
Really, and thank you for being so open and honest within that, because it's for us as fans, it's a great insight into the journey that you've been on. And I don't want to kind of go over things too, you know, too much with you, but I just wanted to talk about this, which I didn't realise, which I think is wonderful because we feel it. I feel it in the film, and the film almost makes more sense now. Knowing how involved Chadwick was in the whole creation of that first film, really. Mm-hmm. He had really clear thoughts and decisions, and he fought a lot for it, which I wasn't privy to prior to listen to this podcast this morning. And this new film that you've made, it's there. All of that's there.
Oh, that's all kind of you say. I mean, Chadwick was I tell people this all the time. It's actually strange. Like one of the reasons that I think the podcast is what it is because I was talking to somebody who knew him.
Yeah.
You know, Ta-Nehisi knew him really well. And it's actually more difficult to talk to him with emotionally.
Yeah.
With people who knew the guy. When I talk to people about Chadwick who didn't know him, I can keep it. I kind of have to keep it surface because, like, it's a way where he would sound like an alien or something. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because he was that unique.
Yeah.
And I met a lot of people in my life, a lot of unique people. You know, like I worked for years with Sylvester Stallone. Like, I grew up with Marshawn Lynch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I know some people who are like very brilliant.
They're up there.
But also very unique.
Yeah.
And eclectic. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, And Chad was the most unique person I ever met. Like, I don't know if I'll ever meet anybody like him again. One of the most humble people I ever met while being one of the most confident people I ever met. You know what I mean? Like, he was like both things at once in a way that almost didn't make any sense. Just a unique guy. Mm. So when it came to the music, we would have conversations about that. Like, he was an incredible drummer. Great dancer, you know, like, and he would, you know, we would work a long day and I would rap and hear drumming and he would be having like a drum circle with his friends and
Jabari?
Cash. Jabari Exum. He made a space for Jabari. We were able to put Jabari in the film as one of the water drummers. They were very tight. Mm. I tried to like incorporate music that he would like, you know what I mean? Truthfully.
Yeah.
Like stuff he would be excited about. I would play stuff for him. He would get so excited, man. Like I remember the first time Ludwig sent me some stuff he had done with the talking drums.
Yeah.
And I played him the talking drums that said his name, that said T'Challa. His face was he was like, man, this is brilliant. They're not ready for this, you know. He was so excited. So we tried to like continue it on this one.
Hearing you talk about the fact that you'd finished the script, you know, and then we had that, the news of him passing and faced with that prospect of taking that story on and what that story would be. And it was interesting to hear you talk about the, there are lots of elements within this film that were in your original script.
Yes.
Prior to Chad passing. And that kind of really beautiful journey that we've all experienced from kind of grief to celebration in a way, you know, of that. Awake of that opportunity to celebrate someone's life and
Absolutely. To
talk about those memories and celebrate what they are and what we still hold of them as well. And I think that the film does that so, so brilliantly. But that journey for you to come to what the story was going
to
be.
I tried to, what's interesting is I was in the dumps, as you can be when you lose somebody like that. And I was also in shock.
Mm.
I mean, look, it was a very unique way to lose somebody. I lost people through sudden tragedies before, you know, car accident or violence.
Mm.
You know, somebody's here today, gone tomorrow. I've also lost people through prolonged illness. You know, this felt like both of those things at once because to our knowledge, Chad was okay.
Yeah.
To our knowledge, he was healthy while we were working with him. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then we were making plans to work in the immediate future. So it was like a multiple level.
Yeah.
Thing and then And then it was the realization of what he meant to me, you know, like that, because you take that stuff for granted.
Totally.
And I think that's like natural. It's like that's totally natural to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like when you got a friend who's a coworker who you love. You know, waking up every day thinking, oh man, I love this person. You know what I'm saying? Or I can't wait to see this person. It's just like they're here. You know what I mean? Like you see him, you talk. You know what I mean? You chop it up.
Yeah.
Something happens. You got an idea. Thought you bounced it off of him, but you just take them for granted. You know. I was working through all of that.
Yeah.
I was working through all of that, and one of the things that I did, when you know, I kind of shut down a little bit, and my wife knew Chad and was close to him as well. We were both very shy.
Yeah.
I was sitting in bed like in the mornings and just kind of like watch videos of us together, and videos of him talking, like him responding to questions or, you know, giving acceptance speeches for awards. You know,
yeah.
A lot of this stuff I was there, like in the audience. You know, you know what I mean, like, and but I was just like caught up in the moment. You know what I mean? I
wasn't
maybe
you're living it.
I was living it. You know what I'm saying? And One particular night was the SAG Awards,
mm-hmm.
and I remember being there, and it was great. Like, cause I'm not a member of SAG, you know, I didn't feel any pressure. You know what I'm saying? Like I was just there to celebrate them and they union. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And they got voted best cast.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember how happy they all were, man. Like and how just fucking proud they were.
Yeah.
And I was happy, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, this is awesome, you know, like
proud father.
I mean, not even, man, because it's more like I got custody at their performances, I'm trusted with it for a period of time, and it was like, holy shit, they union. The other actors like voted for them, you know what I mean? It was like it was like wow, you know, like
yeah,
and they went up there. And if you watch that video, everybody knew who was going to talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knew who was going to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it was him. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knew who was going to have the words. You know, like it was him. You know what I'm saying? It was very much, like, symbolic of, it's one of my favorite videos of him, you know?
I'm going to watch that after this.
And he says some incredible things. As he always does, you know, made some really great connections, and then he said like casually, oh yeah, because we did what we did business wise, it means now you hear Black Panther, there has to be a two after it, you know what I'm saying? Like he just kind of said that offhand,
yeah.
And for me, it was like, oh Jesus, he told me what I gotta do here, you know, and at that point he was sick,
mm-hmm.
like we thought he had like a bad flu. You know what I mean? Because we were going through press and stuff.
Yeah.
And he was losing weight and like he was, some days we didn't know if he was going to come in or not. But it was flu season. You know what I'm saying? Like we all were sick. So I was like, man, Chad must have got like a bad flu or like a horrible stomach flu or something. You know what I'm saying? And like, so I look back and he was being very intentional about what he was saying. He was talking to us. You know, you gotta do it. Yeah, we gotta keep going. You know what I'm saying? And like, what was brilliant about him is he didn't say, hey, he didn't, because if he, knowing him, right?
Yeah.
Like, that man had no problem telling me what he thinks I should do if he had a point of view on it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he had no problem calling me, hey, I'm thinking maybe this, I'm thinking maybe that. You know, I wanted to talk to you about this. You know, we were getting into arguments all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, the fact that he didn't, I think he was basically saying, I don't know how you're going to do it. And that's up to you.
Yeah.
But I want you to do it. Like, you know, like that was what, you understand what I mean?
Absolutely.
By that?
Yeah, I hear that totally.
Yeah.
With Ludwig, because there's, let's talk about music, because the music is phenomenal in this film, and it's a different.
I think it's his best work.
Oh, it's.
And I've known him for a long time.
Yeah. You can say that to him. Yeah. But there are, you know, there are things that feed through from the first film, but there are new things and there are additional things, and you have a whole new culture
mm-hmm.
that you have to represent musically.
Mm-hmm.
There are beautiful, tender moments. What were the conversations you had with Ludwig about, you know, what was coming through from the first film to this and what needed to...
Look, with him, man, I gave him the screenplay very early. Like he's one of the first people to read. and then we talk, and I do a lot of listening, you know, because I try to communicate what needs to be communicated through the, you know, through the script.
Yeah.
And then so our first conversation, I'm just listening to him. I'm listening to what he liked about the script, what he didn't, how he felt, and then what he's thinking about the music, you know. And then once I take that in, I respond. We talked about what we were listening to. You know, that's normally like the second or third thing we talk about. It's like, hey, what you listening to right now? Mm. You know, like and he'll ask me sometimes, what were you listening to when you wrote it?
What were you listening to? Do you mind me asking?
Nah, I don't mind you asking that at all. I was listening to, strangely, a lot of Mike Dean, like, which is weird, because my middle brother is a musician, named OG Dave, who's on the soundtrack.
Yeah.
He and I have been working together since he was a kid, and he would always talk about Mike Dean all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like say, hey man, Mike Dean this, Mike Dean that, Mike Dean this. If I like the song, he's like, oh yeah, that's my, you like it because of Mike Dean. You know what I'm saying? So I would poke fun back at him. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Mike Dean, you know, you always talking about this guy, you know? And then he released like a 420 album, and I was like, man, you know, my brother always talking about this dude. Like I knew the rap songs he produced, mm-hmm. but it was just him. So I'm like, I'm gonna get this a run and see if my brother like taste is where it, and I loved it. You know what I mean? I was like, oh man, you know, and it was great to write to, you know, especially during the pandemic, because my wife and I, we was homebound with our kid who was young, and she was like loud, you know, mm-hmm. like so I could listen to that and zone out. I was also listening to a lot of Burna Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, tons of Burna Boy.
Who's on the soundtrack as well? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you decide on that? Because you had that brilliant, you know, working with Kendrick on that first uh-huh. kind of companion album from the first film.
Yeah.
You know, the idea, I love the idea of kind of music from and inspired by the film. And this one, it's got an amazing collection of artists on it,
yeah.
you know. And
yeah.
and also just making those decisions, Stormzy's on there as well, which
oh, yeah.
is, as Brits we're like, you know, kind of yeah. super proud of and stuff as
yeah.
well. And
yeah.
Pink Pantheress and
yeah.
your Burna Boy you mentioned as well.
Yeah.
What's the decision and the journey for that and working out who's going to be part of that,
yeah,
that journey?
Yeah, yeah,
because it's got to fit with the sound of the film as
yeah.
well. That's the thing. It's kind of...
Yeah, like and also, what the film is, what the film is.
Yeah.
And I'm big on, and Ludwig is as well, I'm big on, like, the audience. Like what are the audience's expectations versus what we think the audience deserves? You know what I'm saying? Those are always two different things, you know? Like, I'm a firm believer in, like, it's something Steve Jobs will talk about a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this idea of, like, man, people don't really know what they want. Like,
yeah.
you got to kind of show it to them if that makes sense. And like, that feeling of, like, the first time I saw an iPhone, and I was like, what the fuck is that? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a phone. You know, like that. But it ended up being a device that, like, dominated everything after, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. And like
yeah.
and like with Kendrick, that was his own thing. And when I look back on it, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like it was him at a level of like supreme confidence and output. Like he had just released a fantastic album
mm-hmm.
and he still had like he was still going. Like we know, like we met with him to do a song. He was like, I'm gonna give you a whole album. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so then we had that and it's like I don't think we can do that again, and I don't think we should.
Yeah.
You know, and now Chadwick and Mike, his characters like that, like what Kendrick was doing was channeling those guys.
Absolutely.
You know, like in Letitia's character is in a different place. She's trying to find who she is. She's like coming into her own. The film's opening up to another world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like. There's two worlds in this, like two places with specific things to say. and you got a little bit of us in it in the mix too, like kind of as like bystanders, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, so maybe this should be like a more traditional soundtrack, you know, like maybe this should like have not be like a one artist album.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe Ludwig should be the creative guy, and we can like do it together. And then something we would always talk about is, you know, we want to make, because we would, it's interesting, me and Ludwig would listen to songs. Mm. Like we would spend time when we were in film school listening to songs, like not film scores, we listen to songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this idea we have, like, man, maybe we would make a movie where the needle drops would be songs that we make that are like cohesive with the score.
Absolutely.
And like the whole song will play.
And the narrative. It wouldn't be like a snippet. Yeah, relative
you know what
to
I mean?
The narrative.
Like, it'd be like a full song, you know, like, and we were never able to do it. Like, we were never able to get like the support or like had the time until now, you know. It's very fulfilling. It's fulfilling to do something that you talk about when you're a kid. And we were able to, you know, go to the continent, go to Mexico.
Yeah.
And record with these artists and like work and talk to the artists about the movie. And what's crazy is I think because of like the reach of Chad, truly because of the reach of Chad, like all of the musicians was like serious. Like, you know, like they would have this focus to them.
Yeah.
It was almost like they was looking past us, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And it was for him. It was for Chadwick, I think.
Even that the Thames cover of No Woman, No Cry is just, it's absolutely, it's so.
She's great.
It's so delicate and beautiful and just.
She's truly great, Thames. Yeah, like we were there with her in a hotel room in Lagos, like one night, just tremendous output. Yeah, like she's like.
Special.
I think she's like anointed. You know what I'm saying? Like truly, like just seeing her up close and personal.
No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Trenchtown, overwhelmed by serving the hypocrites, mingle with the good people we meet, good friends we have and good friends we've lost along the way. In this great future, you can't forget your past. So dry your teeth, I say. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry.
And there's something about the female voices as well, because you got her and then Rihanna as well.
Yes.
And I mean, that's just...
Totally.
And talking about a piece of music and a needle drop, really cutting to the core of themes, characters, emotion.
Yeah,
that song is just
No Woman.
It.
Oh yeah, it's
Rihanna song.
Oh, the Rihanna song. Are you talking about Lift Me Up?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's a complex song and sounds simple. No, yeah, but it's not. Yeah, it's music from, you know, Ludwig recorded the music first in 2017 when he was in Senegal, you know, on a kora, the kora that you hear being plucked, which is an ancient instrument, and that's an instrument that sounds like a lot of things.
Yeah,
like it's maybe it's a guitar, maybe it's a harp. You know what I mean? And it sounds like it's for kids. It's like for babies. And like for old people at the same time, you know, like we were after complexity through simplicity, if that makes sense, like poetry,
absolutely.
You know, and so like, you know, and then Ludwig recorded like, you know, recorded in Mexico.
Yeah.
I hope it's a world where a version like that comes out. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But and then he before we left for Nigeria, he was like, hey, write some lyrics to this if you don't mind, you know, and I.
Did you know who was going to sing it at that point?
No.
Wow.
No, yeah. Like I think we were always courting a lot of artists. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Always, and like Rihanna was always the top of the list.
Yeah.
You know, we knew that we were gonna do like this big soundtrack with a lot of artists, that maybe weren't as mainstream as Kendrick. You know what I'm saying? Artists that like had a point to prove, if that makes sense, from places that had a point to prove musically, which is why we went to Mexico City and Yucatan and Nigeria. Like, we went to places with like chips on their shoulders. You know what I'm saying? I was listening to a ton of Tim's, but I was also listening to like, all right, so like, we were making this movie over like 4 years, you know? So it was like Mike Dean and Burna in 2020. But then I had a point in time when I was like listening to like a lot of music from the 70s. Like that was where I was when we went to Lagos. I was like in that zone, like American musicians from the 70s. I was listening to like Sly.
Oh, wow.
And the Family Stone and Joni Mitchell.
Yeah.
And they would make these songs that were like so poetic, but crazy simple. The verbiage would be simple.
Mm-hmm.
Like Joni Mitchell's Blue.
Oh, what a wonderful record.
Yeah, or like Sly, like if you want me to stay. You know, it'd be like, I don't know who they're talking to. You know what I'm saying? They could be talking to a lover, they could be talking to a friend. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking to a child, you know, like that idea of specificity, but at the same time, like, ambiguity. So I was in that zone. So I was like, okay, maybe if I could write something like this, you know, like, but also something that, like, doesn't make sense, but does, you know what I'm, saying? And so that was how I wrote the chorus for Lift Me Up. And me and Ludwig, you know, very close friends. Our children are close. We didn't have these kids like when we made the first film. Yeah. So it's like we became fathers in between time, and that opens you up.
Nobody prepares you for that.
No. Yeah, and the vulnerability of it.
Yeah.
You find yourself like, I find myself like moved by the weirdest things now.
Cry
you
anything.
Know, yeah, like you cry yeah. anything. Yeah.
You can't control it. It's so weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
so
the weirdest,
glad you felt the same.
It's the weirdest thing ever. Yeah. I talked to like a lot of other young fathers, and it's like, yeah, like, oh yeah, man. Yeah, I cried.
Just hug it out.
Yeah, I cried the other day while I saw some shit while I was getting ice cream and broke down in tears, you know? Yeah, so I was trying to capture all of that.
Lift me up. Hold me down. Keep me close, safe and sound.
And yeah, man, like, you know, we took that to Lagos and you know, and on the way over, it was trying to figure out what we were going to do for the trailer. And Bob Marley, looking at those lyrics and kind of like studying that, the history of that song. And you know, it's like a really complicated publishing history to it. And like, the fact that he was like in a record label dispute and wrote the song and gave it to his friend.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, hey, yo, you wrote this now. You know what I'm saying? Because my publishing stuff ain't straight with my label. You wrote this.
Yeah.
You know, and just those lyrics, my God. You know, and the idea of having, you know, this great guy who wrote this song about women persevering.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like the perseverance and the strength of women. So it's like, oh, if we have a woman sing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was, you know, well, if it's Tim's, and then that's our movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, the matter, that's our movie. Like she's, you know, they have to get through what they got to get through, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So really, really excited about that. And yeah, man, she makes it look easy. Tim's, you know.
As do you.
Right. Thank you.
from Ludwig Göransson's score to Wakanda Forever, that's Yucatan, rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking with Ryan Coogler. And a quick apology for the slightly kind of abrupt ending to our chat. We were kind of cut off and told to kind of get on with it because we could have chatted forever. So apologies if that sounded slightly abrupt to you. My huge thanks to Ryan for being so accommodating and so open in what must have been an emotional time. So central was Chadwick to the whole Black Panther project. You can hear my previous chat with Ryan by heading to edithbowman.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. We are at Soundtracking UK, and please keep the emails coming to info@edithbowman.com. Next up, and it's the wonderful thing that I love about this podcast, is that it's not all about big names. We love having people on the show like Ryan, like Ludwig, who, of course, you know, are involved in these huge multi-million pound productions. But we also love celebrating and talking to talent and people that we are just enthused by what they do. Next week's guest is a great example of that. Charlotte Wells is a young and kind of first-time feature film writer-director of the film Aftersun, that you might have seen the posters around for because they feature star of Normal People, Paul Mescal. The film's called Aftersun, and it is directed and written by Charlotte Wells, and it is absolutely brilliant. And I'm thrilled that we have Charlotte as next week's guest on Soundtracking. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.